Hey everyone, Exertion here. For some reason you tuned in for Thorin's YouTube channel. I'm not really sure why, but enjoy.
I want to work events again, but I understand what worked in the past might not be the best right now and broadcasts improve. So I've decided to humble myself and learn from the people being hired to the best gigs right now. For example, at IAM Krakow, the biggest event of the year so far, I took some notes on how JL executed a masterful monologue about Spirit and Furia, and it's inspired me to follow in his footsteps. So here goes. Gamer Subs is a delicious energy formula, and you can get 10% off site-wide at gamersubs.gg with the code Thorin. How did I do? Can I have the highest day rate in the world, please? Did you know I also have a predictions Discord that you can join where I'm doing giveaways? And if you want to check other sponsors that I have, just always check my pinned tweet on X. So the question I am asked a surprising amount of the time for someone who's worked one event in the last 4.5 years or something and doesn't even tweet about being hired to events is, will I ever work events again? Do I want to work events again? Is there something holding me back? Do I have like a grudge against someone that means I can't work events? Well, you know what? Let's just start here. I was incredibly blessed to have a prolific career in its own right, an entire career just doing desk analysis work at Counter-Strike LANs. I always tell people, I'm one of the only people who was never vaguely a pro player, who didn't just get hired for desks. I was number one at one point in time. I did the most majors in CSGO history as the primary analyst. Nobody else managed to match that. True, it's because Moses moved on and did other things. Yanko went as a coach. There's reasons why, but at the end of the day, the record stands. Like, if someone has the most goals, they have the most goals, whether you think someone else was better or not. Like, you might think Haaland is better than Alan Shearer. I don't. But I tell you what, Alan Shearer has the record, doesn't he? I worked 8 majors. I worked 72 LANs. I earned over $420,000 doing so as my, like, day rates and fees. By the way, that sounds like the beginning of a joke. It isn't. It's just actually the weird sort of rounded up number that it came out at. Obviously, there's even inflation that actually meant I had to, like, change the numbers over the years when I recalculated. I actually even made a video where I broke down the literal finances of that 420,000 and what I got at what events. I show you literally what I got as my fee. It's one of the most transparent videos ever. But also in that video, I did talk about a lot of things about like why I work events, what I thought about working events, what it's like to work. So I won't cover all of that in this video. Most of that's going to be in that. You can go watch that. But for people who don't, anything relevant, I'll briefly mention here. Now, of the 72 LANs, all but one of them were in CSGO, the exception, of course, being 2024, I think it was in October or something, Elisa Masters Espoo in Finland, that I worked in CS2. The vast majority of them, by the way, not only were in CSGO, they were prior to 2021. Because 2021 was the year when I turned down my Flashpoint contract renewal. There's a video about that. If you don't know, they offered me again another. This is why when people say I failed at Flashpoint, I killed it on the creative side. I wasn't in charge of hiring the teams. I couldn't help that fucking COVID happened. And also, I literally made 6 figures working that event and even had stock in the company. So I didn't at all fail, did I? Only a moron would say that. So what happened more is they did disrespect me in the company because essentially they wanted me to take a tiny pay cut. It would still be a 6-figure salary. And I didn't believe in the project because I told them, if you don't get good teams, I'm not just going to stick around and do like a tier 2 tournament and put all my life into it and be trying to find. I was doing things like finding out the salaries of the teams and telling people you can sign this guy now. He's only got like an XK buyout. Or this person over here even wants to join your team. Would you consider bringing them onto an NA team? Or hey, top European player, would you like to play for this like big NA org that right now doesn't have a good squad? I can help you get that together. One of the teams I actually helped that listened to me was Cloud9 when they built that super team. Although obviously I wouldn't have told them to get ESSA tagged. I then left because I didn't believe in the project. I did still do one big CSGO event. I did PGL Stockholm Major, which was the, what would it have been? Let me think. The 4th to last major in CSGO. And I even told people, but it was also in theory the biggest major ever, maybe the best major ever in CS. I even told people after that event and during it, this might be my last tournament I ever work. We'll get to why later when I talk specifically about PGL, and I already knew the lay of the land elsewhere. So I explained in the financial video some of the key context of my broadcast career. It was never my main job. It was always something that was a side hustle where I never made my most money, even though I made mad money from it. I never made most of my money each year from doing events. And to this day, and every single year since 2015, I make six figures a year doing all the different things I do. I think I'm the most prolific person in the industry. I work in multiple games. I do a bazillion talk shows. I do my own content. I do Patreon. I have a fucking Substack. I'm streaming right now on Twitch, or you might be watching it on YouTube. So I even go on other people's shows. So I have all sorts of ways to make money. This isn't about making money doing events. This is about, would I like to work events for the sake of working the event and what I could contribute, isn't it? My primary job now and always was being a content creator in the field of journalism. So with a journalistic bent, and then obviously specializing in history. But I also think in the modern day, I'm quite well known for being the best interviewer, maybe the best talk show host. I think I'm almost certainly the best person at booking talk shows, if that's just a bizarre detail you don't know about. I don't, and I'll just repeat this, I am not owed events. I was never owed events. I view every event that I ever had as a blessing. I'm grateful to be hired, even when there was shit or there was problems or people were idiots, because I got to be a part of CS history. And I already do anyway as part of the community and someone who's followed the game since literally beta one and had like a 4-digit low one something one ID. Shout out to the old school. I actually had a low one then, I think K-sharp even. But I've always understood you are a custodian of history when you're on the events. And so I think I can do that element best. I also think I'm a great entertainer. So the question, do I want to work events? Let's just get that right out of the way immediately. There's a misunderstanding in the scene due to the nuance of my situation. So I'll just say at the top, yes, I want to work events. I always have. I never retired. I never even applied. I did like Richard did. And nor did I ever say I didn't want to work events anymore. I've never said that out loud. I have said, like, it's not the end of the world if I don't. It was already a blessing, all the things I got to do. I had an entire career. There's a lot of other pretty good people. Sadly, some of them don't get hired now, which pisses me off a bit. I never, ever burned out doing events. I don't burn out in general. I can if I overload my schedule myself. But if you saw how much more I will do to burn out, I'm not exaggerating. Compared to my colleagues, that would be me doing five times more than people. And sometimes I've done that for months and months and months, and you just never knew this. And burning out for me is like I do a normal amount or twice as much as a normal person. That's my idea to take my foot off the pedal. One of the reasons why I think I don't burn out is I have a very pure passion for CS, which means it's not work for me. It's fun. I enjoy the grind. It isn't a grind. It's just watching games. Like, boys, I used to say to people, if you can't get up for watching the best teams in the world play each other every couple of weeks, maybe find a new career. Look, do it if you want to do the job and you're good at it. But isn't this really for people who love the game and then they get paid and it's kind of cool? That's a lot. And we used to do it back in the day for like a few hundred a day, sometimes like 100 a day back in the day. It was so cool to be doing the big events. Yeah, obviously nowadays you get four figures a day. It's big time money. So I love CS events, and I've always said I would watch two elite teams that are well-matched play each other forever, every day, and I'd never get bored doing it, and I'd consider it a fucking blessing to do so. Now, yes, early in COVID, it was me, this is the misunderstanding, who chose not to work with certain other TOs. But later, in the meantime, as I'll explain, it's actually then those people, it's usually not even the same people, it's later people who replaced them, who either just don't have me on their radar, don't consider me, or have other reasons why they don't like me or don't want to work with me, as I will explain in depth. So I won't work with ESL. Let's just get it out of the way at the beginning. They're the best tournament organizer. They've always had the best events. I mean, maybe A-League was slightly better, but the arenas weren't. They're the best at doing arena events. They generally understand some of the hype elements. I think they made some bad fucking calls in the last years, like not hiring Maui, sometimes not hiring Tech Girl. Some of the events where I think some of the analyst choices are getting really atrocious, but whatever. We'll go past that for the moment, shall we? So the main reason I won't work with EPL technically has actually already passed. But then another main reason replaced it. So I don't think the gods want me to work with ESL. I mean, somewhat fitting in terms of my history with them, right? Which is, back in 2020, when I was doing Flashpoint, and the Battle of Flashpoint is we intentionally scheduled it up against ESL Pro League. And by the way, for talent hires, I had the same budget as ESL and I destroyed them. I got way more of the top talent because they wanted to work with me and my vision of the project and not be in the ESL gulag forever. And I won on that area. I even had like the production value of Face It. The problem was, ESL won with the teams. They both had Nicola Nyholm manipulate the top teams to do the Louvre agreement when they quite literally lied to us over and over and over again, including in private calls, saying what they thought about ESL, and they never believed that anyway. But I did tell the people before that was even done and dusted. I even told them, I'm pretty sure Nicola Nyholm's lying to you, don't trust him. And they were essentially like, no, don't worry, he's given us his word. So what actually happened was ESL, to ensure they won the Pro League battle, did stuff like take North American ESL Pro League spots and give them, one was even, I think, given to a European team. Given them teams that had never earned them. And back then, ESL Pro League spots literally got you, like, sponsors. Because you could show a sponsor, I'm going to be in this league with this many player days and this many viewers on stream. And so they did that just so that we couldn't even get smaller, like, you know, 11th to 20th type ranked teams who would have gone to Flashpoint otherwise. They just did that to be like, come over here to Pro League and we'll just destroy them completely. Now, what's funny is, even though I then said I won't work with ESL until those people are named and fired, I don't think I'd even work for ESL anymore now. Actually, the joke is ESL themselves counter-signaled after that that they would still work with me. Because I'd actually had a whole bunch of written work already scheduled, thousands of dollars. And they used to send the documents saying what events do you want to work. And I used to work two ESL events a year, Cologne and New York usually. So what happened was there was an episode of By the Numbers that because Flashpoint was going and I had a conflict of interest that I worked for them, this is one of the only episodes I didn't appear on. And the Flying DJ and Carmack of ESL appear on it. And they even say, I think the Flying DJ, that it's not on their end that they wouldn't work with me, is what they're implying. And that actually, essentially, they're open to it, but it's me who's closed the door. That's sort of a gist. Now, what's interesting is I now won't work with them for a much bigger reason, which is they're owned literally by the Saudi state. Now, what's funny is I don't give a fuck about what the Saudi state does. Not that I have no feelings about it, no thoughts. I just don't give a fuck. Like, it's not something that I take into consideration when working events or that I, like, tweet about on my account and what I think morally and what my principles are. I mean, I have went to events in China. There have been no events in Russia, etc. The thing is, the reason I can't work for a Saudi-owned company is, one, they don't just let you work for a mate. They do tell you you can't say things. They even told those massive comedians that will get megabucks, the biggest comedians in the world, you can't say these things. So, one, I won't be silenced like that. It's one thing if you're like, look, within the brand of our thing, just don't be too edgy. That's one thing. But the idea you can't address certain things, that's nonsense. I'm not going to let them talk about women's gaming and then pretend like they treat women in a respectable manner. And then also, the bigger issue is, since I call out people who have been hypocritical about having a pro-LGBTQ stance or being in favour of women who then work with the Saudis, if I call them out for working with the Saudis, I don't actually think it makes me a hypocrite, but it does make my credibility seem undercut as a journalist. Since I've told people, I have never lied in my entire professional career of 25 years, millions of lines spoken and written, thousands and thousands of videos and shows and all those events I've worked. I've never lied, ever. And I'm going to maintain that. So I'm sorry, I will tell the truth about people I work with. So, as I say, it's not that I actually have that big a problem with the Saudis because I don't have to live there. No one I does and why I won't be going there. So I've never actually cared about going to China, Russia, etc. Now, true, the Saudis were a bit different because they had the connection to the top of the country. That wasn't the case with the people I worked with in Russia and China, etc. Those were just Chinese and Russian esports orgs. Now, look, if ESL was sold tomorrow to anyone but the Saudis or another state-owned company where the state commits fucking insane human rights violations, then yeah, I'd be open to working with them again. Yeah, wouldn't have a problem. Now, look, I have no idea if they would want to hire me still. It's 6 years later. I'm not the same sort of box office marquee name. I think I would be an interesting hire, like if somebody like Anders comes back or you hire DDK. I don't know that I'd be a huge name. So I don't think they actually would necessarily be interested, actually. Also, maybe the industry has gone, as I'll talk about later, to a different kind of hiring method. Now, I did have an offer, I will say, last year to be part of an ESL skit for one of their sponsors. But I had to ask them, even though the pitch was great, it was a really funny idea, the character I would have played was hilarious. I had to say, yeah, but at the end of it all, I know you aren't the Saudis and you aren't ESL, but is this going to go on ESL's YouTube channel? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, well, that'll be considered working for the Saudis as far as I'm concerned. Even if it's you paying me, if it's in any way, like I'm going to be on ESL's broadcast, I don't think I can do it at that point in time, can I? Like, again, I don't want to work for ESL. So I would have done it if it was on the sponsor's channel, but then somehow for ESL for the stream, that could have been a compromise. Didn't happen. Now, by the way, that is a bomber because I actually really want to work with some of those people. You could even probably guess when I say skit, I'm actually purposely making it vague there. You could maybe even guess what I might have done and what role I might have played. See if you can. Answers on a postcard. After ESL, Blast is the next biggest game in town, in my opinion. Sure, traditionally, you think of Blast as the second biggest due to their visual style. They had the partner program back in the day. They were certainly prioritized over everyone except ESL 4 or 5 years ago. But I think actually they're the third biggest in terms of size, number of events, ambition to be great, Even the style of broadcast, for me, they're actually not a distant, but they're behind PGL. I think ESL's slightly in front. PGL just can't get the team, so they have to be a firm second, and then slightly behind them is Blast, because at least they get the teams, right? Just they don't have as big events and as good actual group stages, in my opinion, and they do stupid online stuff. So, PGL, when good teams attend, clear second, could even, I'll just say this, and I'm not just saying this to be self-serving, they could even be number one. If you either made the kind of desk I want or hired me on that desk. Because even though ESL has the advantage in production, I think always will because of how much more they're willing to pay and where what country they're in and who they hire. I think if you had an insane desk with the obvious three immediately would be me, and then the host, ideally would be Richard Lewis, but could be Tech Girl, Maui Snake. This sort of a desk, I think, would bang, like that Elisa Masters one, which if you go watch the YouTube video of all the highlights, I'll link it. I think everyone loved it, didn't they? It was a throwback to the old desks, but was still good analysis and great sort of entertainment value. Now, I've always had a deep affinity with PGL, if people don't know. It goes quite far back. Now, what's funny is, yeah, don't worry, I went to those events and I mourned. I would mourn about the food or the attitude of the people or even the country I was in sometimes. But by the way, that's a ubiquitous like vibe in those countries. Now, true, I wouldn't do that now because actually one thing I learned as I grew older myself and sort of, let's say, attuned myself more to my people and my culture rather than just being some world citizen that I was 10 years ago is I do think now it's different for someone to talk shit about their own country and their own people than for you to talk shit about their country and their people in their country receiving their hospitality. So I wouldn't do that ever again. That's why I always tell people, I will never tell you the things I don't like about the Netherlands or the Dutch people as long as they are my adoptive country. I am very grateful that they are magnanimous enough to allow me to live in their country and work here and have a life and have residency. And so I'll never tell you I don't like anything about their food or their people. I'll only tell you good things. I'll keep the rest because as far as I'm concerned, I'm their adopted kid. And that'd be fucked up to speak shit on the adopted family. But as I say, that was also kind of the vibe back then. So at the time you thought, when in Rome, right? Or when in Romania in this case. Now, PGL, one of the reasons I had an affinity for them is they are super old school. A lot of people won't know this. ESL is technically the oldest because technically it was like CPL, Europe and Turtle. But actually, PGL is right there with them. They go back to the early 2000s when it literally was the same guy, Silviu, running Quake and Counter-Strike tournaments in Romania and in Eastern Europe, and they are insanely old school. So actually, that guy, literally, Silviu, I don't know if he's still CEO, I actually had a very good personal relationship, or so I thought, with him. What actually happened, I see now, was when I was a huge figure, and specifically, I was seen as anti-ESL, anti-bullshit, and anti-monopoly. Anti-monopoly may as well be a redundancy for anti-ESL. That allied me with Silviu. It also allied me at certain times with DreamHack before they were bought by ESL's parent company. It allied me at certain times with Faceit. So I think Silviu thought, well, these two, I'm old school like him and he's against ESL. So you know what? That's a natural ally, isn't it? And maybe I'm just not an ally anymore. He even used to directly, personally ask me to work his events. He'd just go, do you want to work this event? I'd say yes. Normally I'd agree the fee. I'd say yes. He'd always make the fee very generous, usually actually more than ESL. So he didn't have to haggle over the price and it would be paid super quickly after the event. So I used to think, actually, this is awesome. When I work with ESL, I'm with some underling guy that you won't even know the name of. I have to go through that person. And sometimes a higher up will go, hire Thorin for this event. But sometimes they wouldn't. And then they wouldn't hire me. I've never worked a Pro League event, for example. That wasn't one that the higher up demanded I work. So even though, although by the way, I'll also say I was also never the guy who got paid slow by TOs because they just, you know, wouldn't stand for it. And I had leverage that I had non-esports work. So I could call them out in a way the others are too scared to because they all chasing the last payment still and want to work the next event before that even has been paid. The problem is that our issues and our impasse comes from that exact personal relationship. That's the reason I can't work PGL events. The last event I worked for them was the aforementioned PGL Stockholm 2021 Major, the biggest and perhaps best CS event in history to this day, in my opinion, most viewed at least. At that event, it all went great until the last week, the playoffs, when we went from Romania, where it was remote, to Stockholm to have the playoffs. Now, I did a green room edition of By the Numbers, where I addressed a lot of the other drama, like the old boys club remark, Sado at the border, Bardolf, the old boys club. In no way was I in part of the old boys club. It doesn't even make sense if you actually watch that episode. But let me repeat some of a different story, because one of the problems that already happened was I actually felt very personally offended by how they treated me. Over that same 1 week, I was asked, through Richard Lewis, would I like to be part of the show match on the finals day? Now, I have only ever been asked, bizarrely, to attend one show match ever as one of the players, which was Starlord of Berlin, the second to last major I did in 2019, because Sponge Chad was thinking of doing a CS 1.6 show match. That would have been fire. I actually fucking know all the little angles in that game. But it never ended up happening. Unfortunately, there was no show match at that tournament. Now, there was a show match at this tournament, so get ready for why I didn't end up working it. So during the event, I was even receiving day-to-day updates on what was going on in the show match, like who was going to be there, what players they were thinking of inviting. They were discussing players to invite. Like, one angle was maybe we'd take people that I'd beefed with. At the time, I'd beefed with Device, but then I met him in a club there. We sort of made up over, I mean, he wasn't even a fucking Astralis anymore at that point in time. And let's just say we broke bread. Obviously, they thought about bringing some of my friends in, people like Get Right, and even an angle, I think Richard came up was a genius angle. He was like, maybe we even stack the other team with people who you've criticised. Look, people like Smiths weren't at the event, I think, but people like that. And the idea is they'll get to frag you on stage and it'll be satisfying for them and their fans. It'll be kind of cathartic. I said, yeah, I'm up for it. Bring them on. Let them do it. I'm willing to be the heel and I'm willing to be the one who loses in the fucking match. I'm willing to be the jobber in that sense. Right up until the day of the final, I was told and under the impression I was playing the show match and I knew most of the players who were competing. I essentially knew the other 8 or 9 players. On the second to last day, the penultimate day of the tournament, I worked this both semifinals, I think. On the second semifinal, I even teased at the end of this show match that I was going to be in it, but in a vague way, so that like only later when you saw the show match would you get what I was teasing at. Then, in my off time, the day of the semis, I had to rush early in the morning and go to a shop in Stockholm, buy my mouse and keyboard, because I'm ready to actually put on a good performance in this show match. I was going to play how no one ever fucking does. Everyone tries to play like they're a pro, and they just do a bad job of it. I was going to shit talk people, no scope everyone, and try and knife people constantly, and just make it a mad show for people. So the next day, I wake up, and on WhatsApp, in the production channel, there's a message showing the two lineups for the show match. I'm not on it. And even better, they've replaced me with Zeus, the Na'Vi guy from Ukraine, who's not playing for Na'Vi at this point in time. He's years retired at this point. He just came late to the event because he's a big name. And even worse, to add insult to injury, with no explanation or apology for why I'm not working the event, they've even put me on the desk as the analyst for the show match that I was supposed to be playing in, and I've even hinted I'm going to be in, and I've been told for the whole week in Gaslit that I'm in. And so, like a fucking pro who agreed to work this event, I do the desk, I don't even complain publicly, I do a great job, I entertain, then I do the final as well, by the way. They were even going to anger me before the final. I do the final, I do a fucking amazing job on my last ever major final, I kill it completely, I even help Richard coined the Great One nickname for Simple. I talk about all the history between Nico and Simple and what it means for Na'Vi and Simple to win this major. I do an awesome job on my Swan Song broadcast. Richard and I, by the way, even agree, don't worry, we'll get home after this event and we'll just expose it all in a By the Numbers episode, which we indeed did, the Green Room episode that I just referenced earlier. A few months later, this is where the story gets crazy. A few months later, in early February of 2022, I am in Russia on holiday. By the way, weeks before the military conflict in Ukraine began, believe it or not. And I get a call on my cell from Silvio himself. He has my number. He apologises for what happened in Stockholm, but in a really vague way where he never addresses the show match or why he did that to me. And still, I thought to myself, you know what? He's an older guy. It's me, Snurik. He's a bit stoic. Well, he isn't now, actually. He's emotionally just reacting like a teenager, but it seemed like he was more of a stoic fella. I mean, it looks like he's been in a few fights, as I put it that way. And so I figured, you know what? That'll just be his way of apologising, by not directly addressing it. It's like that Eastern European thing where they bring you the fucking chopped up or apples that taste a bit like a fucking onion. You know, that's your dad saying sorry, if you know the law of Eastern Europe. I just figured he's sincere, but he just can't address the topic because he's ashamed or something weird happened behind the scenes, like Zeus just asked him in the matter. Who the fuck knows? So he tells me in this same call that, similar to Stockholm, I'm going to tell you, Thorin, now, I have the next major. It's going to be PGL Antwerp. It's going to be in whatever it was, April, I think it was maybe May of that year. He says, I've got the next major, Antwerp, and I want you to be there. You're the first person I'm hiring, just like for Stockholm. I want you there. Now, the problem was, after Stockholm, at Stockholm at that time, the reason it was in Stockholm is Sweden was open, wasn't it, at that point in time? So to get into Romania and Sweden, you just had to have like a test that, in my case, that showed I'd had antibodies because I'd had a flu. And so I was able to get in. But he'd already said publicly, in some context I forget, that for the next major, PGL Antwerp, and for all his events, I think he implied, but that was the only CS event he was running until the CS2, that you would have to actually, because at the time of the medical situation, you would have to literally, to either work the event, attend as a pro player, or attend as a fan, you would literally have to have had experimental gene therapy. Now, if you don't know what that phrase means, you don't know exact scientific terminology. I didn't say anything political right there. Saying something else, a word in that place would be political. So I did. He said that was necessary because, look, all I'll say is this. For that issue, PGL themselves went way over the top compared to anyone else that I worked with or in that era. There's something about that just set them off completely, and it was a massive issue. Now, look, they still let me work Stockholm event, and that was okay with the antibodies. But at this event, so I said to him, basically, yeah, but the problem is, mate, you've said publicly, and you've put your word out there now, that everyone has to have this experimental gene therapy. So do I have to have had that to work your event? Now, what he might not know is this. I didn't ever have the gene therapy. But if I had, I also still wouldn't work the event. I think that is literally immoral. So the problem is, he said, yes, you would be required to do that. So what I did was, I just said, look, I can't do that for moral reasons, mate. And I'm not going to do it either, by the way, just to work your fucking video game tournament. So what I did is I politely declined the event. Said, look, sorry, I can't do it. So I guess we can't work together. Guess we'll work on the next one. At the time, he actually took it well. I even thought, man, it doesn't seem like he's resentful or salty. Man, by the way, it wouldn't even occur to me that he would be, because he was the one making an outrageous demand of me. So actually, I thought I was sort of fairly polite in the way I declined him. So I figured, it's okay, I'll just ride out this medical tyranny / lunacy, and then I'll just work future events, maybe even with PGL, right? PGL, by the way, hadn't done many, but 2 years later, they're back for CS2. The first major is announced as PGL Copenhagen. Awesome, I think. This is so long after all that other stuff's finished. Surely now it's going to be okay. I actually contact Silvio myself and I confirm that they no longer have that requirement, which he does. And I say, okay then, well, I'm available to work the event. He just tells me something like, they haven't decided the talent yet. Now, that's already a huge red flag. If you listen to what I said earlier, before when I worked here, so PGL, they would tell me first they want to work with me and they would confirm immediately. We wouldn't even discuss the terms of it till later. So already that should have been a red flag. But I thought, I just took it at face value. I'm autistic. I just thought maybe there's some thought about the talent. It's been a few years, right? But you know what? I'm sure I'll be in the mix. So that's the last time I ever spoke to him. And he even, up until recently, for years, had me blocked on Twitter. Now, what's funny is they didn't hire me. And at that event, they did some insane shit. I did a whole video on it. They had a whole thing where there was that crash with VP versus G2. They deleted that from the VOD, lied and said AI did it. Even after I pointed out publicly, said, well, if you have any more problems, just reach out privately. Then blocked me on the PGL main Twitter account. So I never could have done that. It was a complete lie, a bad faith statement. And then Silvio himself blocked me on Twitter because I dared speak about that and some of the outrageous things he did to ESL and journalists who were trying to attend the event, which I think is totally negative. And then, by the way, I would have said something about that even if I worked at PGL, because it was bang out of order. And he was doing exactly what he used to complain about ESL doing. He was being the tyrant because he had the leverage, because he had the major from Valve. So I know for a fact that since then, people like Richard Lewis, Maui Snake, Tech Girl, YNK, these are people, they've said it to me, I haven't asked them this, they want to work events for me potentially, if it's the right TO. So it is, as far as I can tell, just Silvio and PGL top brass that doesn't want to work with me. By the way, that's fine if they don't. They can have their own reasons. They can have any petty reason they want. But the point is, they're the ones who've chosen it. Now, what's hilarious is, if you think of those names I just said, that could have been the desk to destroy ESL's otherwise superior product, because the vibes and the fucking atmosphere would be pure CS, and I think it would be way better received than the shitty ESL desks, or the average ESL desks. They do sometimes hire just good people like Freya and Pim. I even think, by the way, it was so rudely handled. I even remember thinking to myself, you know what? I almost wish the Saudis didn't own ESL. Maybe I would just go to them, ask them, did you ever fire those people? And if so, we'll do a heel turn. We'll do a fucking Hulk Hogan joins WCW. Let's fucking destroy PGL and let's show them what they're missing. But the problem is, I can't do that because ESL's owned by the Saudis, at least for the next couple of years, right? I think they'll sell in a couple of years. Don't worry about it. So as of now, I doubt I will ever be contacted by PGL ever again. People think it's on my end. It wasn't. It never was. In fact, I even thought they were something of an ally. Turns out they were nothing like that at all. So it's on them that they don't hire me. When they hire literally the people that aren't even the cool ones on HLTV confirmed, that's their choice. They think they're better than me. If you think that, God bless. Enjoy the rest of your career. Now, in terms of Blast, I had a rocky relationship with Blast from the start. I got hired to their first ever LAN, which was the one in late 2017, where, like, Blast Pro Series Copenhagen or whatever. It was the one where SK Gaming, who had felt bolts at that point in time and had just won Pro League, beat Astralis, who had to use Dupree as their AWPer, and he played awesome at that tournament, by the way. And they had Dennis, the Swedish Dennis from Fnatic, standing in. And I think I was hired on recommendation of Mandis, if I had to guess. He was the one that had the connection. First day, they couldn't even get the broadcast working or get the games to work. So we actually had to, on the broadcast, the games. So we had to just do a 4-hour film. But people like me did it and we saved their show. So I thought, I'm probably in here. They'd even hired for that event tons of people. It's where this like infamous joke photo came from of like everyone where I pretended we were all voting to have this like NA cast and not hired, even though he never ever would have been hired. He was a fucking nobody. And he'd done loads of outrageous, unacceptable shit behind the scenes. So they never contacted me again after that to hire me during the Blast Blow Series era, a couple of years. And obviously in the meantime, I even wrecked them, didn't I? I made the Blast Stralis meme. I made the Blast of One famous meme. Now, what's funny is, because I criticised Blast and Astralis as a journalist, largely due to Nicola Nyholm, and at the time, Refresh, the company behind Astralis, owned Blast, I obviously thought, well, I'm never working with them ever, am I? So who gives a fuck? It's something I was thinking about. I was even still working with all the other companies. I was even, in 2020, I was going to do Flashpoint on, not on my own, but as a, like a main person within a TO. What happened is in late 2019, Semler found out that the main Blast guy, a guy called Nicholas, he now works at ESL, they were actually going to decouple the companies, so Refresh was no longer going to own both of them. Heh, we'll see how that worked out. And that he was open to working with me. Actually, he was someone who was a fan of mine. So we talked behind the scenes, and we agreed, right, Blast's going in a different direction. It's actually the sort of product Thorin would want to work on. It's going to be called Blast Premier. There's no more BO1s. It's full group stage BO3 into a real playoff finals. They wanted the best talent, so they got us hosts, Semler, who was transitioning to host, and Shox from League of Legends, one of the goats of that fucking role. As analysts, it was me and Sponge, so I think two of the best ever to do it. Yanko can certainly be in that mix, if not number one. And it was even based in London, my home country, where I always do enjoy working for obvious reasons. It is literally my ancestral homeland, and in theory, it would be my current homeland if it weren't for certain world circumstances. They did the first event, group stage, just before COVID hit, and afterwards it had to go online. Now, I even got sent the equipment to do it online. I was doing the showdown. I even bought some of that equipment and used it to this day, like these lights. The problem was, during the Blast showdown, Astralis at the time was using those shitter players. They had like fucking, was it that they had Snappy and Yugi? I think it was. And they were playing so bad, they even lost to Mouse when Mouse was starting to drop off. And so I made a tweet that was like, Carrigan beating his old teams, like Taylor's oldest time or something, because he always used to beat his old teams. Device at the time, because he was mad at me saying criticism of Astralis for the years prior when they were shit and Blast Astralis and doing all those shady things and all the stuff of Flashpoint. He basically just called me out in some fucked up way. So I talked shit back to him. And then I then had a phone call from the Blast top guy that was like, hey, when you work the event, then you like can't speak about the teams that are in it. And I went, yeah, but this is on Twitter, not on your broadcast. Like, I'm a journalist, mate. If I want to call out Astralis, I'll do it. And they didn't like that. So they basically gave me an ultimatum. Don't talk about that anymore or don't work our events. So problem solved. I told them, right, I'm not working your events anymore. Now, listen, they were very magnanimous. They paid me out all the rest of the contract. And I appreciated that. I didn't work the events. I've never worked with them since. They've never contacted me since. That was back in 2020. Now, I've never had an issue with Blast. As long as, by the way, they wouldn't make a similar absurd demand. Then there was one incident with them, which was this. They got the last ever major for CSGO. So I thought to myself, you know what? It is years after that. It was like 3 years after that event. Maybe there's a slight chance they contact me since this is the last ever CSGO major. You want all the big names there, surely? They never did. By the way, fine. If you look at the route they've gone, it makes sense they don't hire me. Their broadcast, as far as I can tell, is anti-edge, anti-humor, anti-fun, anti-entertainment, I would even say. Their idea of humor is Dupree playing on the idea of like, I'm sort of pretending to be gay, which I've never understood why that 2000s humor is accepted by like leftist and fucking liberal people when that would be considered outrageous if you just said it, but you didn't put a little bit of edge behind it. Or him just doing sort of zany, oh yeah, Jim Carrey nighty shit, which I think is just hacky as fuck. That's not my style at all. I like a bit of nuance. I like to fit the analysis too. So I would want to do it more with like Richard Lewis, Tech Girl, people they don't seem to hire, by the way. So maybe it's just not a brand fit. Again, that's fine. It's their choice who they want to hire. I do think their desks are boring as piss as a result. And I think Dupree desperately needs someone like me, actually, by the way. Except I won't do this now. I won't say why, but I have a little beef with him. Won't get into that. Someone like me could give him two or three small pointers and work with him on a desk, and I reckon I could make him twice as good. So he'd basically be average then, wouldn't he, for an analyst? So, oh, yeah, I'm a 5-time major winner. Yeah, you know what, mate? I'm an 8-time major fucking analyst worker. I am you in my game. So you would have to learn from me in that one. But the fact you don't is why you're fucking shit at being an analyst. So I would actually work with them. It just seems like there's zero likelihood that will ever happen on their end, doesn't it? Then how about we'll throw in Star Ladder? So Star Ladder was smaller event and major last year. Now, since I'd worked with them so many times in CSGO, including their last major, and was loyal to them, by the way, and picked them over other events I could have worked, despite them being rude to me a number of times and acting really crazy behind the scenes. I won't go into why at Starladder Berlin, but even the hiring for that was nuts. But I got to work it. I did an awesome job. I even had a top guy there insult me to my face a number of times. But he said it like, we don't even like you. None of us like you. But we just hire you because you are the big name. And I was like, well, then good. Pay me the money. Keep hiring me and shut the fuck up. Why would you say that to my face? There's also the whole thing where they were dickheads about me doing sponsoring. He's like, why are you changing the read? Because your read says something literally immoral, like get rich quick or something mental like that, on a betting sponsor. Like, I'll do a betting read my way, in a funny way, and I'll hit all the points. They didn't like that. They thought that was rude and unprofessional. Well, you know what? I'm not a team player in your sense. That's immoral, you fucks. I guess I'm out. But since I'd already worked this Elisa Masters event, one of the few times I'd ever contacted a TO myself asking, is there work? I actually tried contacting Starladder when I heard they had the major and said, a bit like I did to Elisa, why don't you make a desk unique from the others? Why don't you make a desk with me, hire Richard Lewis as the host or tech girl, and then get Maui or YNK, Yanko, as the analyst? Wouldn't that be an awesome event? Now, what's funny is, in the email, I'll just say, they agreed with my sentiment. It would be good to hire different people, have a different desk. Are you ready for the punchline? They not only didn't contact me, which is fine, they then hired Ted, who'd never even done events that big, but it seems like a decent enough guy. He's improving. They hired Devil Walk, who is fucking trash. He is vanilla ice cream in a human being. And this is your birthday and you want an opulent fucking massive cream and fucking chocolate chip and raspberry ripple. He's fucking vanilla as shit. And then they hired Maui, who's sick, but even then tried to like handicap him for the playoffs, but eventually had to get over it. That major sucked enormous dick on the desk, didn't it? I think even that Elisa Masters LAN on the desk-wise shits all over it. And I've never heard from them since, by the way. And essentially, they never would have. It was just me contacting them that made them even reply. Then I did have the Elisa event I worked. So what happened was I saw the event in late 2023, the one that was won by like Fallen's Fury, but it was a smaller event. I think they played against, maybe it was Apex with Nork in the final. And they had people like Vendetta, who I know working there. So I reached out and I said, you know what? I know you have a small event, but I'd actually be interested in working with you. Like, I actually like the vibe of the event. It was kind of a bit old school, like an old dream hack from 10 years ago. And I said, you know what? I would take a reduced pay rate if you hire Richard Lewis and Maui, who I've already talked to, and they both agree they'll work the event. So we were all into it. They were into it. We all took like a 20 to 30% pay cut, and we did the event, and it went awesome. And I think every part of it was fucking fun. There was a bunch of delays, but we just told them, put us on the desk. We'll fill. We did some awesome work doing that. Problem is, even at that event, they explained there's this thing called VRS coming. It's going to change how invites work. And actually, believe it or not, we probably can't do this in the LAN next year, even though we'd love to work with you guys again, because we probably can't have international teams. Sadly, I even confirmed as much last year. That's why it couldn't happen. Now, as far as I can tell, it might actually be possible to do it now. But then again, they've also got sponsor restrictions because it's hard to actually advertise gambling shit in Finland. So that's just my suspicion as to why they don't do it. So if anyone wondered, I thought the same thing. I thought after that, you know what? We did an awesome job on that desk and I was straight back to my best. You know, maybe a TO gives me a call. Nah, they didn't. So okay. I didn't get on people's radar. Or they're just not interested. Now, when it comes to smaller TOs, they just never reach out to me is basically the thing. I don't know if they have the budget or if their events are just like, they think it's too small. Look, I will say, if you have lesser teams there, like I think PGL's about the limit for the teams that are interesting. If you have teams below that, yeah, it's probably not that great for me, is it? I will say, I will not name them in this case because they didn't directly fuck me on this. But there was an unnamed TO in 2024 that had an event where they were hiring two big names you would know. You see them on ESL events, put it that way. Both of those people independently contacted me and said, we want to work this event with you. If we say to the guy hiring, hire Thorin as well, do you want to do this desk? And I said, yeah, fuck yeah, those are two people I want to work with. So as a result, they went to the rep from the TO in person at an event and he said, yeah, no problem, we'll hire him. They told me, right, they're going to hire you. They never contacted me, ever, this company, and instead they hired someone who isn't better or more famous, or even has like the same social, or anything. Just like sort of an all right guy. Now, you might ask, what's the problem with hiring? I'll make this brief. People probably just don't like me, let's be real. Now, that could be for a few reasons. Maybe they don't like edginess, maybe they don't like my humour. There's also woke elements. That has infiltrated those rooms in a way that would have never been the case in the 2010s. And so you also have to ask, who's doing the hiring? You don't know. You don't know any of the people who do the hiring, by the way. It's not the higher-ups that you think it is. It's nobodies and plebs. So I'm just going to say, I've heard so many horror stories. They're morons. They don't understand CS culture. Some of them are even from other esports games or sports. And they just have this silly, play it safe mentality. They don't know that you, the fan, want inside the NBA on a desk. You want CBS Galazio, don't you? They aren't fans of sports or esports even like that. So they don't get it. They think you want the NFL on Sunday from 20 years ago, buttoned up, serious, very few jokes. Those people have made the hiring for these events incredibly cliquey. You have to ignore them and get along with them. Political, they have to literally agree with your political opinions. So they have some mental political opinions I disagree with. The difference is I wouldn't go, how dare you have that opinion? But they do that to people like me. And also just on an emotional level, maybe they just don't like me in the industry. They were a little shitter when they were coming up. They went, I hate that guy, so they don't hire me. So it doesn't matter, by the way, that some of my colleagues, as referenced before, but even since, have actually even said, I've never prompted them to do this. Oh, I actually asked them if they'd hire you or recommended you for the next event. No one ever reaches out. They just hand wave it. Sometimes in person, they just ignore the person and don't even listen to what they're saying. Now, I'll even put this out there. It's even implied to me that one of the reasons Maui didn't get as much work with a certain TO himself was due to association with me. So there's another thing. These nobodies who never did this job and have no expertise in the field, they're just company men and hires, they also want to set the tone and it to be their broadcast and develop their people. They want to be seen as a genius. When they hire Devil Walk, I'm a genius, even though, again, another vanilla ice cream human being, isn't he? They think when they hire JL, who's brain dead, but otherwise a harmless enough guy who can be fun, but he even would tell you and admit he can't speak and talk fast in English. Oh, they'll hire him instead of me. Dupree, legendary pro, who doesn't seem to get, by the way, that analysis is his job now, and he still seems to think that he can act like he's the boss's son being forced into the team when he's a gold noble noob in the analysis angle, in the analogy of a CS team. Now they even hire Prof, zero personality, by the way, cardboard cut out of a human, and Striker, who actually, you know what, in a mild way, maybe he's just changed all the last few years, he's grown on me a little bit. His problem is just awkward delivery. I think if he got the reps in and people actually gave him, maybe Richard will do it. You could shape him to be decent. I don't think he'll ever be really good. He just doesn't have the it factor, does he? But I think he could actually be all right. The prof guy is just the human fucking equivalent of the colour grey, light grey. The problem is they don't care what you think. Same as in League of Legends, same as in Overwatch, same as in Valorant right now. In League of Legends, you wanted Nymeria on the LEC. They don't give a fuck. They'd rather have some other person you don't care about. You wanted Anders on ESL events and CS. They don't care. They're going to hire some other person, sometimes over industry politics. You probably wanted DDK on VCT in Valorant. It doesn't even work in Valorant anymore. They don't want someone like that. They don't care that you want them. They'll force you to have the person they like. And then when you watch the event anyway for the games, go, see, doesn't even fucking matter who I hire. So you know what? Yes, I would like to work events, good events, and probably always will. But don't worry, it doesn't torture me. It's not something I sit up at night thinking about, even if I criticise people on the events. If they hire good people, I don't criticise the desk. I don't have that mentality of like, I must be high. It should be me. No, that's not me. And I'm not the guy where I don't keep knocking on the door if people don't answer. I go where I'm wanted and I do my own thing when I'm not. And I've got this whole other career outside of it where I'll be very busy, make a lot of money, have a lot of success and still influence the game. So it's okay if people don't want to hire me. I just think it's fucked up. It's true. Fans want me and other people at the event want to work with me. And I don't ever bring this up, but they keep telling me people who worked with me in the past, like, love to work an event with you. I miss you, man. Are you ever going to get hired again? What about this? It's actually, I never bring it up. It's always the people around me that fucking do for some reason. Now, look, I would like to tell the story of the huge teams and the players and be on the official broadcast, helping craft these narratives. Is what I've done my whole career since day one of Counter-Strike. Now, I can do it in content, but it's not quite the same as the official stream to the same degree, is it? I would also like to work with some of my favourite people from the past. Richard Lewis, Maui Steak, Freya, Sponge, Launders. These are fucking goated individuals. I'd like to work with some of the newer people I've never got a chance to. Tech Girl herself on an event. Heku, Vu. I think these people are all good and could be excellent in the future. I also, by the way, at this point in my career, I'd even like to play a role developing some of those talents that would be on the desk of me, because I wouldn't be competing with them like the other people at the event, would I? I would only, in my ideal world, do like 5 events a year. I would never do the whole circuit. I'd even like to just work for one TO for 3 or 4 events a year and just keep it at that, make it exclusive even. I'd like to help them with How do you do the on-camera style? How do you develop the archetype of what your brand's going to be? How can you speak? How do you deliver your words? How do you stop yourself fumbling and saying like, and then getting lost when someone throws it to you and you don't know what you're going to answer? How to make jokes, etc., and gradually build that into your personality? I could help with a lot of these things. I have a lot of technical knowledge because I've thought about my job and done a lot of hours of doing the reps. I dedicate like 8 years of my life to doing so, as well as other things. And I think I've also learned a lot about hosting from being a talk show host and interviewer for all these years. I could even be a host, even though I wouldn't want the one where they're talking your ears all. I'd be like a hybrid host where I could do the bring in. If you don't know, I'll link it here. I even did Epicenter as a host for the first time ever and I thought I killed it. Lastly, there is the whole thing with the green room. I have heard, and this was a main reason to work events, that the camaraderie isn't as good anymore. The green room vibes of me and Rich Lewis. I've heard like PGL's good because Rich is there, but the other events, it's dead. We were essentially the spiritual leaders of those groups. Like, we were the ones who set the tone, brought the new people into the group, kept it fun and light, kept it edgy, let people vent off some steam, nothing ever leaked out of there, and then people could go and do an awesome job and kill it on the desk, and everyone had crazy camaraderie. There's a lot of infighting now. There's a lot of woke bullshit now. There's people without passion on their phones, not even watching the game, waiting till the end and just saying whoever fragged hardest at the top was the best player and whoever fragged lowest needs to step their game up. So I've heard they're just not as good in general. With that said though, I won't lose any sleep over it. But hey, would be cool to work an event again, right? Since time immemorial, great artists have been supported by patrons who believed in their work and wanted to contribute to their efforts. Well, what's more fitting than the greatest esports content artist being supported by my patrons, the Skrilluminati? So this video and the others on my channel was kindly supported by Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore, and you know it. A special thanks always goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in my video AMA? Want teasers? See who the upcoming guests are? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content, or take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic. If any of these perks appeal to you or others, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. Where? In the description box, there is a Patreon link.